You found Tend the Flame. I'm Kate Brenton, the voice behind this podcast. It started as the Rebirth Podcast and became a book, a compilation of stories of people that leapt, that when the world was pushing them one way and their intuition was whispering another way, they listened to themselves. The podcast changed names to Tend the Flame because after we leap, we need to create sustainability. We need to land and root. So this podcast today is going to talk about going back to basics. I'm going to tell you a couple stories, use dogs as a literal and figurative metaphor. We're going to reference Dante's Inferno, a couple of books, and the possibility of the consciousness that you can erase what was wrong and embrace the idea of beautiful thinking. So thank you for tuning into this podcast. Last week, there was no podcast. I was too busy being dumped into the river of oblivion. Here we effort to go slow. We offer the reason this podcast's name is Tend the Flame is because in a fast-paced, cold world, we offer a warm corner on the internet, on a podcast. And so if it's not the right timing, we wait, which is pretty tricky. It's pretty tricky sometimes, but I hope that that gives you permission to rest as well or listen. Sometimes inaction is perceived as rest, but it's really a movement to stillness and clarification. So thank you for tuning in. Let me talk to you a little bit about where we're going here today. So I've noticed in more than one place, people coming up to me talking about nostalgia. Periods of time coming back in through dreams or cross points of, depending on how many years you've lived, can feel like another lifetime, you know, and they're coming up. We are in Pisces season. Again, I'm not an astrologer. I do find planetary influences helpful to pay attention to. And when that first wave of nostalgia came through, I realized I was having a conversation with a friend, and I said, well, you know, what I've noticed is I started watching Caesar Milan again, and I I love dogs. I've loved Caesar Milan because when he first came on to the screen, I watched that he was given a national television show to teach Americans about energy. And he was doing it under the pretense of dogs. So here I was, man, this was over 10 years ago. Yeah, over 10 years ago. And I was learning about cranial sacral and herbalism. And I was teaching high school English and yoga and all this confluence of learning how to hold the human spirit, right? As I'm teaching like participles and creative writing. And so to me, they've always been linked, you know, they've always been linked. So I was watching him, you know, be able to say like, oh, you know, do you walk your dog, and asking people basic questions, like, are they acting in balance? And if they're not acting in balance, and if they're not giving the dog the basic needs that they have, well, of course the dog is going in deviation. So I watched him because I found it fascinating and because I love dogs. And then I had heard, you know, I stopped, you know, and there's only so many dog shows you can watch. And then I had heard, you know, he kind of disappeared for a while, and I didn't think much of it until I was teaching a class and I was remembering him as an example. And I went online to learn about what was, you know, find a reference point for him. And anyway, I stumbled into an interview where I found out that he had lost everything. You know, he had lost his marriage. He was done dirty by the businesses. That's why Dog Whisperer disappeared. He actually doesn't have the right to that title, as I understand now. And he said, you know, I'm a pack animal. Like, I understand dogs and I understand animals. And I had no pack. Right. My pack members were not loyal to me. And so he said in the first interview, in the iteration that I remember, he said, you know, so without a pack, I didn't see any point in living. And so he decided to end his days, and he was found, and he was resuscitated. And when he, as I remember in the interview, when he came, when he woke up in the hospital, he was recognized, and people were thanking him for how all that he had done with the dogs. And that interview really touched me because I thought, oh, his purpose, you know, his purpose kept him going. So I started watching his interview, just watching a show of his came up on Hulu, Better Human, Better Dog, Better Human, probably Better Dog. I think it's how it goes. It's on Hulu and it's on Disney. And I thought, oh my God, I haven't watched one of his shows in such a long time. And I really didn't want to, I just wanted lighthearted television. So I started to watch one of his shows, and I could see how he had grown. I could see it in how he was handling the energy on the show, and I could see it in his demeanor, and I could see it in how at the end of the show he would do like a little touchstone, and they were much more spiritual. I was intrigued, and so I was going to start writing about it, and I went looking for the original interview that I just told you about, and I found a different one, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I clicked on it, and he said, the interviewer was asking him questions, and it referenced back that point in time where he had lost everything. And he said he realized that what was imprinted in him, even though he no longer lived in Mexico, was this ideology that he didn't, you know, that people had hurt him and he couldn't hurt them back, so that he would hurt himself. I'm not exactly paraphrasing, but I just want to give this in context, moving this along. I'm not an expert on that. If you're listening to this, what I found fascinating, and the reason I'm highlighting it, was in so many years after. So I think this interview was only a couple of years ago. So it had to be 7 years after anyway, time had passed, right? And what I noticed was he had articulated uncovering an unconscious thought that wasn't serving him. And it wasn't a scapegoating thought, you know, like he had said something like, you know, that kind of resolution of if you're not providing, you're taken out. And he goes, you know, that was this was very fascinating to me that I found out that that was, even though it's not something I believe in, it was inside of me. So during this time period of watching Caesar with dogs, because that is a it's a natural realm. There's no story with animals. There's either balance or you know, discord. They want to be in harmony. When they go to attack another, it's because there's a lack of security. It's not a judgment. It's not like, oh, you don't look like a good enough dog, so I'm going to bark at you. It's you're bringing chaotic energy, and this is a peaceful place, or my life doesn't feel secure, and so another presence feels destabilizing to me. So they're always looking for balance. Sometimes it's helpful to put yourself in a situation where you're intaking information that can illuminate your consciousness without it being like this heavy thing. You know, like I go on Instagram now, and everybody has like 3 steps to fix this and 4 steps to fix that, and it's just kind of exhausting, you know. And it perplexes me sometimes, to be honest, because there's like, Kate, aren't you doing the same thing? I ask myself, like, aren't I doing the same thing, telling people to, you know, take a sit in your center class that people have asked me, like, well, what are you teaching people? And it's like, well, the teaching is really what it is, right? When you teach a child a book, you guide them through the experience so they create a skill set so they can do it on their own. So all my classes are stacked in such a way that the information is designed to take the participant on a journey to ignite skill sets so they could do it on their own. I mean, that's learning, right? And I feel like people are getting a little tired of the constant effort. And it's time to just pivot back to fun, you know, happy-go-lucky, tail wags, and harmony and joy, and being in community. So I'm watching this dog show, and at the same time, I'm finishing Martha Beck's just a gorgeous book. I think I'm going to buy it. I have so many books that I really try not to because there's just only so much space in the world. But her book, The Way of Integrity, she uses Dante's Inferno as the structure of her book, which I enjoyed. And she does it in a really accessible way. And the idea of that is that, Dante gets lost in the dark wood and he's finding his way back to his integrity. And at this point, where he's kind of gotten a little bit back to himself, right? Like he still has a journey, but he's gotten somewhat back to himself. He's brought to this riverbank and he's dunked into the river twice. And the first time he's dunked into the river, it's the Greek word is le, for oblivion. Right, so he'll forget everything that he's done wrong. And then the second time that he's dunked, it's the enoia, the Greek word, I apologize, the Greek word for beautiful thinking. And in that submersion, he comes up and he remembers everything that he's done right. It's such a beautiful invitation, isn't it? This idea that we would be given permission to forget everything that we've done that is wrong. And then we would have the grace and indulgence to remember everything that we've done that is right. Was thinking about this one episode where this man has a dog and the dog's out of control, right? So I'm going back to Caesar Milan and I'm going to splice two episodes actually. One of them was a pit bull and the pit bull was no longer under control, and Caesar was watching how the pet parent is what he calls them now. The male pet parent was walking. He's like, you're not giving calm confidence to the dog. And as Caesar course corrected, because the dog was like on the verge of biting, basically, he course corrected, and the pet parent said, "It's okay." And I haven't seen every episode, so, and I've never met Caesar, but he goes, "Don't do that." And the pet parent's like, "But I love them. I just want them to feel good." He said, You're promoting anxiety and anxiousness. And a dog in an anxious state is a dog that can cause harm. And so you're either promoting a situation where your dog could be in harm or another dog. And either way, that's not good." And he didn't say it, but then here's the question: is that love? Another episode was a man was not able to provide the assurance. And oh no, I'll tell the one, I should be deleting this. You're so patient. So the woman was like, "Oh, I rescued the dog. I rescued the dog, and he was tied on a pole." And Caesar said, "But he's not on a pole anymore. He's here. And every time you give that dog pity, the dog goes, 'Oh, is there something wrong with me? Am I not whole? Am I not healthy now? Am I not here? Am I not free?'" So life so generously had stacked curriculum that I'm reading a book about a canonical text, whether you want to be reading it or not, about the idea of an invitation that when you come back into integrity, you're dunked into the river so that you may forget all that you have done that is wrong. And that in the second submersion, you alchemize what you have learned to remember all the things that you've done right. I mean, how do you rehabilitate a dog? You course correct their brain to go out of an aggressive or inflammatory state. You go into calm surrender, to use Caesar's language. And then, as he says, every dog should just be happy-go-lucky. Some dogs want to be in the front of the pack, some dogs want to be in the back, but they just want harmony, And so I wonder, so many of my listeners are in that pathway of like wanting to achieve things, but the stories, there's so many stories now of all the things that you've done wrong and all the ways that it hasn't worked. But what would it feel like if, being in the present moment, you left those stories on the riverbank and you submerged yourself into this breath and into this possibility and into this inspiration, where you begin to remember all the times that it did work, all the things that you've done, and all the times that you've found the resilience to keep going. Which place do you want to create from? There's an interesting thing also about that idea of oblivion, that Caesar can take these dogs out of the home and put them in his pack facility, and the dog can go into balanced behavior. But if they go back and the human hasn't let go of the past, of the pity, of the fear, which is valid, the dog will revert back. So fascinating, right? So is it the dog, or is the dog the litmus test of the environment? And I think when they say about, you know, when you do the work within, how that has the potentiality to transform the environment. You know, I teach a class called Sit in Your Center, and so many people have asked me to change the title because they're like, I don't know what it means. And I'm like, that's sort of the point. You know, that's sort of the point. It's the invitation back to center. And that place is different for everyone. You know, they say that after Dante was dunked into the river, and then he goes forward and he says to the reader, this is Martha Beck's phenomenal, succinct iteration, that he says, stop reading, don't follow me. Because once you get to that point of integrous authenticity, you can't follow. You can travel in a pack together, but you can't follow. You have to like kind of have your own nose to where your direction is. Is that mixed metaphor making sense? If you're sitting here, it would be so lovely if you were sitting and listening to this with your journal open and thinking about what is the subtle difference of being in communal support versus following. And when you are in your authority, like a dog, like a balanced dog, there are times that you're leading the pack and there's the times that you're surrendering, right? There's just those natural laws. So if you are in a place of wondering, you know, how do you pivot this way and how do you create when it's all not worked out before, could you imagine being given the permission to dunk your mind into the river of oblivion and to come up into the light of the sun and let it ignite for you a remembrance of all the things that you've done beautifully, and that the possibilities that are in front of you are not closed because of the mistakes of the past? They've been washed away. You've been washed away. How would you move today if you were guided to that river and you were allowed to let go and move forward free? What would you do with it? How would you be walking? What's stopping you from trying? We'll talk more about this next week. If you've gotten this episode, this little mini class episode, let yourself just drop into it. If you are available on the day before leap year, right? Because that isn't that out of time? Isn't that an aberration of logical thinking? Mm-hmm. What if you allowed a little bit of that submersion to happen so that you emerge on leap year, kind of maybe in the best possible scenario? We're doing a sit and write lunch break of creativity to go into the river. We're going to actually do a meditation of going into the river of oblivion and coming out in magical thinking. And that's just 45 minutes. It's just the simplest little class. And you can go on to my website to link for that. And we're also doing Sit in Your Center for women, two Sundays and two Thursdays in March. with full access to the curriculum and content. If you've been here for a while, there's a whole content of the four phases of the moon are the guiding principles to learn about the energetic anatomy of the female aperture and how we operate differently and how to harness our power. But we are going to be teaching these four classes on this idea of submersion. And so the two texts that are going to be the guiding light for this iteration of Sit in Your Center is Martha Beck's Path of Integrity and Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes's Faithful Gardener. So we're going to be working with the water and the earth element about clearing our fields and raising out the doubt and planting seeds, because we still have an open window until April. So we have a really powerful time to anchor into that sovereign scent of our own path and purpose. And the beautiful thing about it is that that sovereignty promotes, allows, and welcomes interconnectivity. It is reciprocal, it is limitless, and it is beneficial for everyone. Two-legged and four-legged, and even the winged ones. So thank you so much for tuning in. As always, we like to promote this type of gathering in the growth of the best version of humans. So if you enjoyed this episode, please share it. If you have time to go on to Apple and leave us a review, that makes a major difference in having us find new ears and making new friends and extending our community so that we can tend the flame together.